everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 120. That's 120 podcasts. Today is Thursday, December 20th, 2012. I had to look because apparently I didn't realize it was Thursday again, which is the day we always do this show. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host, editor of AndroidCentral.com, and the guy who can't stop his right arm from doing this, apparently. Welcome to what may be our last show of the year. Maybe. Haven't decided. What do you guys think? Should we decide right now? Jerry, Alex. Jerry and Alex from the site. Everybody knows them. Last show of the year?
Howdy.
You want to take next week?
We are always going to do whatever you say we should do. You haven't learned that yet? Then afterwards, we'll get with each other and say, damn, Phil, he should have never done that. We should have said something.
Nah. You're so lame. Somebody make a decision.
Let's take next
week. Yes, last show, next Thursday.
Yeah, last show.
Completely trashed and lay out on the porch.
All right, last show of the year, guys. Let's make it good. That's it. I'm done. I got nothing else. let's not spoil a good show by talking. What do you guys want to do? Hey, the chat room's here, by the way. If it's your first time, welcome. If it's your first time in the last show of the year, that's actually kind of cool. Especially if the world ends because of this whole Mayan thing, but I don't think it's going to. Because it would have already. Chat room's here. We do this live on Thursday nights. Alex, Jerry, chat room. Jerry, Alex, chat room.
Chat room, Alex.
What do you guys want to talk about? Jerry and I were trying to come up with links earlier, and I mean, kind of a slow week, right? It's not that there's unimportant stuff, but I kind of don't care about a lot of it. You know what I did last weekend? I went to New Orleans. Actually, here's the big news. I finally started playing Ingress.
Yeah.
Like, sort of. I'm a lowly level one and can't really do anything, but I'm playing it. Because I finally, I went to New Orleans last weekend with my wife to celebrate her birthday. She's 40. She's old. She's older than I am, but she's still hot.
Ooh.
What? I got a hot older wife. I'm proud of it. She's proud of it. So we went to New Orleans, and right as we get there, like, I pull into the hotel, and I get this email saying, hey, you can now change factions. So I totally screwed up and didn't listen to smarter people who said, you know, take a look at the map and what you have and what's going on in your area. And if it's totally dominated by one side, pick the other side because then you'll have some fun. And I totally didn't listen to that. So we get to New Orleans, like get in the hotel and I get the email and I forward it to Jerry. It's like, look, I got it. Now I can play. So I'm trying to pay attention to my wife on her birthday weekend and vacation in New Orleans and play Ingress at the same time. She's like, what are you doing? Nothing. Don't worry about it. And I got home and now I'm playing and it's like totally dominated by like two guys there, three guys maybe. And so I'm just kind of wandering around hacking stuff. Jerry, do you still have portals by your strip club?
Oh,
I mean national landmarks.
My wife got her invite, so I'm letting them discharge completely. So the five portals within driving distance are open, and she can play a little bit, too.
I can't find any open portals here.
I can't find any people playing Ingress here.
So,
I mean,
so it's just you and your wife? You should be on opposite sides.
Well, that's what I was going to do at first, but you don't know my wife.
I got my kids into it, though. Me and I, my six-year-old, we were driving around the other day. She's like, Dad, what are you doing up there? And I would stop before I would play. You know, it's sitting in the holder, so I'm not, like, holding the phone and driving my kid around. But Dad, what are you doing? What's all that sound? And you know, the sounds are kind of scary if you've heard it at all. And but now we were, you know, the whole family was going somewhere the other night. Dad, do that thing. Do your portal thing. Okay, if I have to. And my wife's like, what the hell are you guys talking about? So I don't know. That's what I've been up to. What have you guys been up to?
Not a whole lot. It's been a quiet week, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, we've had security scares.
I mean, yeah, right.
It hasn't.
All right, so what was it? Sunday, the Samsung Exynos thing went down. I saw it when I woke up before we left town and started driving home. And Jerry, you want to walk us through it? Wait, actually, I want to see if I get it right. So every phone has a specific kernel for that phone, right? That's written for that phone's processor. Let me oversimplify it, right? Right?
Right, right.
Okay. So, and that's all custom. That's not, I mean, you can call it Android, you can say it's a Google, but it's not really, right? So, for a Samsung phone, Samsung comes up with that. For an HTC phone, HTC comes up with it. Sony, and so on, right? In conjunction with the processor manufacturer, I guess?
Yeah, they, there's a kernel. I mean, there's a kernel source tree. Everybody grabs it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you were saying, those people all have to modify certain parts of it based on the hardware they're supporting.
So what happened was there is a hole, basically, an exploit that somebody found. I forget his name on XDA. And basically allows any application, you know, to inject into that exploit and gain root access to the phone without you knowing it.
That part, you're a little off the mark.
All right, what did I get wrong?
You've been fine the rest. Nerds may take issue. It's not an exploit. It was done on purpose.
Oh, really?
Because it worked so well.
No, I didn't realize
that. A side effect is that it leaves a folder open, read and write by anybody, and that folder contains all the information that's in the device's RAM.
Ah.
Which is not a good thing.
Gotcha.
I think part of the reason why this was a big deal is because that's, I mean, from a programming perspective, that's a really kind of that's kind of a big oversight and a big security hole.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a folder that with a file that just contains the whole of your memory. That seems
to nerds and assorted Linux geeks and engineering types, this is about the worst and I'm using the word exploit. This is about the worst bug that somebody could make.
Yeah,
this is just horrible. It's something that nobody understands how it could happen. Blah blah blah. But on the user side, it's, you know, it can only happen if you, like anything else, if you install stuff you don't understand or trust.
Well, in the big scary headline is an application could potentially gain access to your phone, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But, you know, go through the top, you know, 20, 50 applications that are in Google Play, you know, that's not going to be an issue, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're not going to suddenly update with this exploit in there and we can get them now. I mean, that's not going to happen. And it's not every phone. It's got to be these specific Samsung phones. It's a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal, so don't get me wrong.
It's a big deal because the kind of vulnerability that it is and the just the sheer number of these phones that are out there.
Absolutely.
You look at the combined numbers of Galaxy Note 2s, international Galaxy S3s, and Galaxy S2s, so then that's probably somewhere in the region of 40 or 50 million phones. So that's a lot
just
of
a couple, yeah.
Like patched.
And it's the Exynos that Samsung was shopping around trying to sell to Motorola and Huawei and Meizu and everybody else. There's a lot of other phones out there. I'm not sure of all of them. I'm not up on the Asian phones, but there are a lot of other phones that use the 4400 series Exynos. And, you know, I was just going to say, it's something that really needs addressed really quickly. But for users...
Yeah, and Samsung had a pretty quick response for us this week. They said they're working on getting an update prepared as quickly as possible. And they've, you know, it was less so in the US because it takes time for things to get certified by carriers. But generally, they've been pretty good with updates. And, you know, from what we've already seen, just rolling out new features. I think that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the devices out there were patched, especially the more recent ones, before we start to see anything, any serious malware being developed around this thing.
I hope so. I mean, this is the kernel. There's no way that Samsung can just push out a small update bypassing the carrier. You know, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, you've got us worried just as much as Samsung. I mean, let's hope everybody works together and gets it out there, because that's all we need is one application start to make the rounds, because this one, it's pretty big if you get it. It's just hard to get.
Right.
So here's the thing. We had another Samsung security scare a few months back, the one to do with USSD codes. And, a lot of phones are affected where you could either click a link or go to a web page or whatever, and it would either reset your phone or whatever else. Do we have any idea how Samsung's done with patching that? I know a lot of the older phones didn't have it. Some of the newer ones have already been patched, but has anyone been keeping track of that? Do we know how that's gone?
I use my Galaxy S2. I kept it on, I'm going to keep it on Gingerbread. So I have a Gingerbread phone here, but I have been watching the updates in case this browser patches in any of them. I know I'm going to have to take it, and they haven't sent one out for it yet.
Hmm.
And that's an annoyance more than a critical.
Yeah.
I take it pretty heavily because I happen to have one of the phones, but this is different. This they need to get on quickly.
Do you think, I mean, in the way Jerry wrote it was, it's a lot up to Samsung and also a lot up to the carriers to actually change something. Are we going to, you know, see them slow it down like they have in the past?
You know what? I'm afraid we are. I mean, I hate to say it, but it doesn't affect their bottom line. It's not going to get the priority that something that affects their bottom line would get.
The good news is there are apps out there that will actually fix this for you if you're worried about it. Super Curio put one out, I think. Chainfire's got stuff for Root. I mean, there are a whole bunch out there, and not just those two. Other people have been pinging us on. Yep. So, I mean, if you're really worried about it, you can go patch this pretty easily, and you don't need Root access.
And you should.
Yeah. Yeah.
My understanding, some of the newer ones don't affect the camera anymore either. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason not to patch.
It's fun to see the community, you know, come together and fix stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is one of those things that I think actually wasn't really blown out of proportion. A lot of times, you know, I hate to call them exploits when, you know, when it could just be a bug, you know, somebody screwed something up somewhere. But in this one, again, it's serious. It's not serious. But, you know, the sky is not falling here. And it's you know, the sky's been falling in other places this week. Maybe that's why. You want to talk about those? Actually, no, hang on. I want to talk about the, what was this one called? Spam Soldier?
Oh, something like that.
Spam Soldier SMS Botnet. I was so close to not even writing about this. So we get press releases from some of these security companies every now and then. And Lookout, you know, and Lookout's a company we trust, right? I mean, I don't think they're out to screw anybody. But at the same time, these security companies, it's in their best interest, I think, to maybe make things seem a little more serious than they are, or to kind of couch things in scary language.
It's always good when a news release goes out and there's there's a scary vulnerability and the name of a program that can protect you from it in there. That's
right.
Always good business.
And again, that's their business. I get that, right? Yeah. I mean, their job is to sell their stuff. And as long as you know that going into it, I think it's fine. And the cool thing about it is all these apps generally have some other features that I think are really good. You know, all the things to find your phone and to wipe your phone if you lose it. Like, that's really good stuff. So I don't mean to be that down on them. But the problem is these stories get picked up and twisted a little bit. So there's this Spam Soldier SMS botnet. And here's what it is. You get a spam text message. And then it says, hey, here's a free application. Go and click it. Oh, wait, but you're going to have to turn off the unknown sources thing. You know, the little checkpoint that keeps you from installing anything from outside Google Play. So go ahead and turn that off. And then install this application. And then, hey, you're going to have a free game. Cool, huh? Sweet. Only it's not a free game. It's a piece of malware that starts sending out 100 text messages from your phone, propagating itself even further. Last I saw, it didn't do anything worse than that. But, you know, the problem is you start seeing headlines that, oh, here's more malware for Android, and it's just stupid. And anyone who can take 30 seconds to read, and especially read the parts that say, you know what, this really isn't that big a deal. In fact, what were their words? It's unsophisticated and relatively limited. So why is it, you know, why is it so scary for certain websites? And I'm not going to name them. You know who they are. But it's, God, this stuff pisses me off. It's just.
Phil, you know how it works, Phil. I mean, in your RSS feed, the words Android and malware in a post title.
It's gold.
That's. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And, you know, I guess everybody's got to make money. I'm glad that you try to have us make money different ways. But.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about it this week, Jerry, and I think it comes back to what you keep saying. These phones, you need to treat these phones like a computer. You know, you should not click on any piece of email that comes in that looks really sketch and that you don't know who it's from. Would you click on a link out of that? No. Would you open up some, you know, doc file or, God forbid, some doc file that says .php at the end? You know, just a little bit of common sense. Never mind the fact that you have to circumvent, you know, default security policies that are already there. And it's an old one and a simple one, which is that unknown sources thing. That's one of the first things I turn off whenever I get a phone. But I know what I'm doing a little bit.
Right.
So, it's the way it bypasses Android security is that it gets the user to bypass Android security.
Right. Exactly.
It's not a flaw with Android. If you click that link, it's your own fault, really. Yeah.
It's just like a Linux or a Mac desktop. Everybody says there's no malware for Linux or Mac. And in essence, they're right. The only way you can get something that will harm your system is when you click a button that says, please put this on my system. It's, you know, people tricking you into putting the wrong stuff on your system. That's what the goal is on Android. Right. And it's horrible, but those people are out there.
I hope they die in a fire.
Wow.
Sorry. I was getting all Christmassy all of a sudden, then you just brought me down after...
Very apocalyptic, though, isn't it? It's very topical.
It really is. It's been such a weird week. I was down the whole school thing in Connecticut Friday, and if anybody follows me, I think you could tell I was pretty bummed. I got kids that age, and then there was something else going on. I don't remember. Instagram doesn't have me down. I think everybody freaked out a little bit about that, but it's just I'm getting Christmassy all of a sudden, and then Jerry's bringing me down with malware again. Damn spammers. Oh, you know what it is? You know what has me down? It's all the CS spam I've been dealing with today.
Oh, God, yeah. It's getting worse. Just today, I've had so much.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, Instagram, you guys care at all. So Instagram changed its terms of service, and everybody freaked out. And people freaked out because of how much people were freaking out. And, I mean, here's how I see it. You've read all the stories, and I'm not going to rehash it. Here's how I see it. You're using a free application to post photos to a free service, and they want to use your photos to do, you know, a little bit of marketing, and it's not even, you know, they're not going to sell your photos. They were never going to sell your photos. They don't care about your photos.
No, because Instagram photos look like crap.
Yeah. They don't care about your cat or your food. Or whatever shoes you're wearing, or your legs at the beach. I mean, exactly. I mean, Paul C. in the chat rooms. It's just like Facebook. Yes. It's so people freaked out about that. It's not that big a deal. But for me, I mean, it's a free app and a free service that's really popular. And I see all these posts like five, you know, alternatives to Instagram, and they're all applications. Well, that's not what the big deal was. I mean, the filters and the square images, anybody can do that, right? It's the social aspect, and yeah, I mean, I haven't quit Instagram. I don't know if I'm going to. I mean, here's why I use it. It's an easy way to share photos to five different things and spam the hell out of my friends all at one time. Only reason I use it. Only reason I care.
They won't let me back in.
Oh, that's right. You got banned, didn't you?
Oh, what did you do?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I got banned from Instagram back when the you know, Apple Android kids were fighting. I just couldn't control myself.
I forget. No, what did you post? Do you remember?
I can remember that it wasn't anything that I wouldn't want my mom to see. There was no testicles or anything involved.
Yeah, but your mom's seen just, those.
It was probably, I don't know. I'm not sure, Phil.
I think he remembers. I'll get him to tell me later. I'll tell all you guys. I'll put it in and post. Yeah, it's you know, it's much ado about nothing, and I'm really not going to freak out about it. Maybe it's the holiday season, because I just don't care right now. I want to have a good time. I want to drink some wine and champagne and eat some food and get even fatter than I've already gotten since November and go to Vegas and go to CES and get back to work. I don't care about Instagram. I don't care about patents. Oh, my God. So you want to talk about that for a second? I have decreed, I have issued an executive order, and I'll say it publicly, because yesterday Jerry says, all right, somebody's going to do this patent story. I said, hell no, don't do it. I don't care anymore. I do not care anymore. These patent stories that, you know, A, I don't understand, and, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, there are only one or two people who I actually trust to understand this stuff. One of them is Nilay Patel at The Verge, you know, because he's trained in this, right? This is like when we used to do
Yes. Is the other one me?
Sure.
You said one or two people. Oh, sure. Okay. I can sleep better tonight.
No, I mean, this was like when we'd... Oh, hi. I have a visitor. Hello. What's up? Hello. You want to say hi to the podcast since it's Christmas?
Hello.
Hello. You're on video, too, so say hi.
Hi.
All right. What's up? I'm going to take my iPod because I think it's in. Oh, yeah. Your iPod is in here. Here it is. Yes, my daughter uses an iPod. I dare you to say something right now. Good night.
Good night.
Love you. Close the door. No, I liken these patent stories to when I was at the newspaper and they would do, you know, we do a brief whenever somebody went to court for the first time. It's their first appearance, and they pleaded not guilty. That's what they always do. They have to. The judge will not let you plead guilty on the first appearance, right? So it's these process stories, and I just don't care anymore. You know, we're going to do a patent story. If it pulls a phone off the shelf, or if it's going to trial, or it's something big, these patent process stories, they're one-offs, and I honestly do not care anymore. So there you have it.
The refrigerator war was the only war I cared about.
You fought in the refrigerator war, didn't you, Jerry?
LG yes. won, right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Where's my Twitter client?
Me too, but did anyway.
Oh, man. So, I don't care about Instagram's terms of service. I don't care about patents. There was something else I didn't care about this week. What was it? Anybody remember?
Oh, there's lots of things you said you didn't care about this week.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, what was it?
Put my priorities back in order, I think. I got all these good phones here.
Oh, I know what it was, but I think I know. Wasn't it that, oh my God, we're going to see a phone that's kind of like the phone we already see on Verizon at CES from a certain company in Taiwan? And everybody's going gaga, but it's like you've been saying.
Oh, yeah, the M7.
Yeah, no. Well, no, I mean, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the M7 rumors going around about whatever's next for HTC. And I haven't seen anything there that you wouldn't expect already, right? I mean, it's just specs at this point. It's design and what they do next with the software that I'm interested in. And we have this talk every year, right? The other one is NVIDIA and what's coming up with what people are starting to call Tegra 4. I don't know if it's going to be Tegra 4 yet. It's not a bad assumption. But again, I don't think there's anything new in that leaked slide that came out this week. Everything looks right on schedule to me. And they've been, this one's Wayne, the code name Wayne. Is it Gray that's up next? I forget which. And this is all stuff that they've been showing for months and months. And they're saying, here's where we're going. Here's the next step. Here's the next step. So, I mean, we're going to see something at CES, I think. But it's going to be good. It's going to be better. It's six times better. Okay, cool. You know, whatever that means. But we've seen that even the leap from Tegra 2 to Tegra 3 to Tegra 3 Plus, a lot of it comes down to the software that's on these devices.
Mm-hmm.
And, for as good as Tegra 3 was, and it was not bad, right? But you saw how much better Qualcomm was able to make the same phone, was able to make, this phone versus this phone, and they're the same damn phone, right? And, so it's back and forth. And it's fun to see, but I haven't seen anything yet that's come out in the past week that's just like, holy crap, this is awesome! Or am I wrong?
Yeah,
no, you're right.
It's all specs at this stage. Isn't it? You're never going to be able to translate those, the chart that's come out into how's it going to perform on some imaginary phone that we don't know what it is that we don't have yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see new stuff. And again, go back to how excited we all were about the 1X. And I still think it was a really good phone. A lot of people soured on it. And I think some of that has to do with the phones that came out right afterwards. But these are not bad phones. I really hope HTC kind of make some inroads in its software department and just gets those. It's like it just has all these rough edges and they just need to smooth them out and get it working right. And they're so close. They really are. Samsung's the opposite. I think Samsung, optimizes the crap out of everything and has it running great, but the design is lacking in the software. And it's, I think we talked about, did we talk about it last week? I'm just finding everything two-dimensional in Samsung stuff now, whereas Android, AOSP design, Matias Duarte and stock Android has really gone a step further. HTC has always been, colorful and had some depth to its design, and TouchWiz just doesn't. And it's not just TouchWiz. I think LG is the same way. A lot of the conversations
I think the reason for it with Samsung stuff is the way they designed the S3, and that was the first device that had the TouchWiz 5, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Was all the development of that phone, not just in software, but in general, was siloed away. People that were working on different parts of it had no idea of the whole, and that was for security.
I guarantee you that's what it was. I've had discussions with people, that there were so many versions of that phone coming out and just the industrial design changed so many times and what they ended up going with, which is really, really good. I've been playing with it again this week. The Galaxy S3 isn't my main phone anymore. But oh, by the way, since we talked last, it now has Jelly Bean on it. Now it's 4-1, not 4-2. So that's stock, but I've already taken that off, and I'm waiting for CyanogenMod 10.1 to come out. Well, it's out now for this. By the way, you want to talk about nightly build real quick, since we have all these new nightly builds coming out? You might want to wait.
Sure.
That's my point. I hate seeing all these posts. You know, nightly builds are out. Go get it. Well, don't just go get it. A nightly build is not a stable build, and here's one reason why. I don't have data on this. I have Wi-Fi. But you don't have cell data in the CM10.1 that's out right now. You know, they're going to fix it, and they're going to fix it really soon, I'm sure. But the first two builds, it just doesn't work. You can fix it.
Yeah, I got it on the Nexus 7. It seems pretty stable. But that's
different device.
No, when it's complex as the S3.
Yeah, different device. I'm not knocking anybody here. It's, you know, these are nightly builds. So that's my point. You know, as long as you understand what you're getting into, and if you can, you know, you can flashback and do all this stuff and get data on it with CM10.1, that's fine. That's not my point. My point is, you know, when you hear nightly build, don't necessarily just run out and flash it without knowing that, hey, something's going to be wrong probably. That's, you know,
yep, that's all I'm saying. That comment.
Yeah.
Especially early nightly builds. I mean, later on,
sure,
after a month or so, things start to work. But when they first come out, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's broken.
Yeah, and I knew this going into it. So that's my thing. We're kind of ranty tonight.
What happened? And we've covered everything on the script.
I know.
So it's like freeform rant.
Google Plus update. Do you guys care? Was it good for you?
The photosphere on the app itself was cool.
Did you guys see what happened?
That's something that needed to happen.
Did you see what happened when I was in New Orleans? So I took some, you know, a couple of really good photospheres, and I'm posting them from there. And I haven't quite tested it 100% to see what was going on. But they only posted as panoramas. They wouldn't post as the photosphere. As soon as I got back, and I tested a couple times, I tested on Wi-Fi, and I tested on Straight Talk here, you know, it's T-Mobile Straight Talk, so whatever. I mean, it's all T-Mobile data, right? And it worked just fine. So it was really odd. And they, you know, wasn't in the same place. It was in, you know, two different locations, miles apart. So it was really odd. I'm glad I got them posted, because a couple of them were pretty good, actually. I think the best ones I've done. I think Photosphere might be my favorite Google feature for the past year. What do you guys think?
I like it. Now that I've learned to do it, at first I thought it was just a janky piece of crap because I wasn't using it right. But now I think it's awesome, some of the pictures you can take with it.
What do you mean when you weren't using it right? What is your...
I was moving too fast. Yeah. I would jump from, like, let's go up and down. No, now let's go side to side. Do a concurrent square and just keep, you know, a regular pattern. Mm. And your pictures will turn out great as long as you go nice and slow. I took one out in the middle of a cattle field with a bunch of cows and some old farm tractors and shit, you know, just sitting around. And it turned out great. I mean, not a single ugly spot in it. And it's because I just sat down on a rock and took my time and did it right. So it's really cool if you want to play with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can keep people from moving around in it, and if you can keep from having anything too close to you, I think it works really, really well. Those are my...
Yeah, the biggest thing is that the time it takes to take all these different little pictures that make up the whole. So it's, the biggest thing is just take your time with it. And,
I think, I can't wait to get to Vegas and try some new stuff and get to Barcelona. And I need a London trip, Alex. Tell Samsung to do something in London.
I'll talk to them, see if anyone can launch a phone over here.
Appreciate it. Italy, maybe. Italy would be nice. I'm going to go do some more cool photospheres.
Somebody needs to launch a phone in D.C. so y'all can come visit me.
I know. God, I love D.C. D.C. is one of my favorite cities. And, like, I don't mind being a tourist there. Because, you know, even if you
work, everybody's a tourist.
Yeah, you kind of are. It is a great... great town. I love D.C. So much fun stuff. New Orleans, it was nice going back to New Orleans. Oh, you know what's funny? So you remember CTIA, the Evo 4G LTE was it announced right then? I think it was. Maybe the week before.
I think so, yeah.
But they gave, you know, they gave us all review units and put us on a bus and sent us on a tour to take pictures. so they could show off the camera and blah, blah, blah. So we went to, like, we went to a cemetery and got out. We went to the Ninth Ward and got out. And I'm like, I'm not taking pictures in the Ninth Ward. That's just creepy. But so my wife and our friends who were there with us last week, we go on the city tour because they wanted to do it. Same bus driver as we had in May. He remembered us. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys were, they just wanted you to take pictures. So we, like, didn't stop anywhere. So, yeah, that's about it. And how crazy is that? It's kind of cool, I thought. You guys don't care, apparently.
Well, I mean, I don't know the guy.
You know, the other cool thing we did.
Very nice gentleman. If he's listening, we're glad that you have gainful employment at this poor economy. Yay.
What are you talking? No.
Was that nice enough?
No, I mean, the bus driver was awesome. I'm talking about you guys for not caring.
Oh, well, see, okay. I should pay better attention. Let me turn John Denver off.
Here's your big fat plug. Jason at Cajun Encounters. Use him. He was awesome. It's like, see you in 5 more months.
Cool. I love New Orleans. I'll have to look him up.
Absolutely.
Next time I'm down there.
The other cool thing we did is we finally, you know, we got out of the heart of the French Quarter and away from Bourbon Street and went down to Frenchman and actually sat down and listened to some good music and in the good clubs down there. Hi, oh, Jared. Andrew, if you're out there, I'm sorry. We didn't go in May. We'll do it next time, I promise. Oh, man. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Alex's Galaxy Camera review went up. If you haven't read it yet, go read it. It's an expensive camera. It's a camera, glued to a big screen.
Android cameras, let's talk about that other one.
Yeah, the Polaroid one that was rumored, I think it's actually been confirmed now by some executive somewhere or other, but it's kind of, I think, a bit of a step in the direction the Galaxy camera needs to go. It's what looks like possibly some kind of mirrorless setup with interchangeable lenses. It's running ICS, not Jelly Bean. That's basically all we know about it at this point. So it's probably going to have better image quality than the Galaxy camera. Smaller screen, I think it's 3.5. But you know, the first Android powered camera to have interchangeable lenses. I think that's going to be a big deal. And if we see it at CES, that's going to be pretty cool.
I have a question. What happened to Polaroid camera we saw at CES last year? They never released
it. Bought it.
No, did they?
Yeah, there was only one ever made.
And I touched it. That was kind of crappy.
Was that the one that was running Gingerbread or something?
No, I don't think it was running Gingerbread.
I think it was running Donut, actually.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering right, it was...
Wow.
It was pretty basic.
Let me find it.
But that was a point-and-shoot, and that was...
Yeah.
A very low end, wasn't it?
No, I think you're right. I think we're going to see more. But
yeah.
it was pretty bad.
Well, and Samsung set the bar. I mean,
yeah.
Nikon and Samsung both came out at basically the same time. And the average consumer is going to look at them both side by side and say, well, ooh, this one looks nice. That other one, that looks like just a normal camera.
And they're very different phones. The Samsung and the Nikon side by side. Here's the Nikon here, by the way. I mean, this is a point-and-shoot camera that happens to be running Android. The other one is Android with a, you know, almost a Micro Four Thirds type device on the other side of it. But this looks and feels like a point-and-shoot.
Yeah, and I think it's going to take a while, maybe next year, until we sort of hit the sweet spot in the high end and the mid range with these kinds of devices. I think that the mid range and the low end it's all going to be point and shoot stuff. It's going to be very similar to the Galaxy camera that we already have, and the high end is going to become these, you know, probably quite expensive Micro Four Third type things that we're just starting to see now.
And it's not a bad idea, and I think Samsung's implementation of it was better than anybody else's yet, but. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah,
this is Gen 1, so we got a little ways to go. It'll get better.
I know the exciting part to me is if people will move over from just a standard Linux or any of the other tiny embedded systems they use, and use Android instead with its pre-written libraries and framework, and any camera you go buy, point and shoot, or you know, Micro Four Thirds or DSLR, whatever. It's all going to be connected because it's already there. All they have to do is write a front end to connect to your Dropbox.
Right.
Yeah. And if you look at that from your perspective of people who are making cameras, then that's going to eliminate a lot of work for them. Okay, they're going to have to get Android up and running, and maybe they're not going to be familiar with Android. But you know, there's a lot of work with Wi-Fi and cell data and all other stuff that's basically already done for them in Android.
Right, and those are they want to offer this stuff. It's just difficult to develop, and if the people at Google are doing half the development for you, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and that's why we've seen Samsung do it first, because Samsung makes point-and-shoot. Samsung already knows its way around Android.
Yep.
So it's really natural that they brought out this first.
It was perfect for Samsung. And the way they did it was perfect for them as well, because it's squarely a Galaxy device. I mean, there's no question. Mm-hmm. You hold it next to a Note or an S3, and they're in the same family. And they've got a big honking lens on the back for people that want to take a whole lot better pictures.
I think Google's JBQ, John Baptiste, I'm totally mispronouncing his name. I'm sorry. I apologize. JBQ. That's why we, but I think back to something, I think it was that he said once, and that is when you look at these different companies doing things, for the first time. So when you look at Nikon, putting Android into a camera for the first time, it's not going to be anywhere near as good as Samsung or, if Motorola made one or, whomever, because they have the experience of doing the software and what it takes to, start customizing things. So you see something like this. My main complaint about the Nikon was it's stock gingerbread, with a phone on it or with a camera on it. And whereas Samsung was able to do a little bit more. And I think, especially in the next year, it's going to get better. And the year after that's going to be even better. So we're way early. So if I sound down on these, I shouldn't be quite as hard on them, I think, as I have been. But we've just seen so many damn devices. It's here. I can't help it. I'm sorry. Since I have this laying here, Thunderbolt is going to get ice cream sandwich. Yeah, eventually.
Unfortunately.
It's coming soon.
Soon.
Speaking of things I don't care about.
You know what? I hope that never happens.
Really? Why is that?
Because HTC already came out and said that the experience they got when they developed ice cream sandwich for that particular family of phone sucked. It sucked. HTC doesn't want to make it, and Microsoft has to Verizon, wants to fulfill a promise they made. That's not in the customer's best interest.
Yeah,
it's. They weren't aware of what they would have to do to make it run well with ice cream sandwich, and it wasn't built for it. And that's just happens sometimes.
It's one of those phones that, I remember getting this, and I remember being excited about it, and it was one of the early LTE phones. I tell you, it still feels
solid. It's almost 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah. It'll be 2 years next spring, next March. And, what a way we came, Spring 2011, spring 2012, or even, spring 2012, right? It's night and day what they've been able to do. But,
I've got to give them credit. Without the Thunderbolt, they wouldn't have been able to make the LTE network as nice as they have.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be first. Everybody.
Even T-Mobile, who doesn't have a single LTE site live yet, benefits from the Thunderbolt.
I agree. I think you're right. I'm trying to find anything else we want to talk about before doing some. We got some really good emails and voicemails this week. I've still got the DNA here. I've started using it again this week. Alex is going to get to use it in Vegas. I still like it. Guys in the forum seem to still like it. That's good. That's important.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it out. I think there's going to be a lot in there that probably translates into whatever we see from HTC next year. That's the sort of stepping stone between the One X and the next international IM thing.
Well, and again, it's the Android version of this. And so I carried the 8X with me in New Orleans. So I took the Nexus 4 with T-Mobile. I took the 8X with AT&T, and just to try to force myself to use it a little more. And especially in a week where I was actually taking the weekend off and wasn't worried about missing something and missing work. I love the hardware. I do. And I don't think Android phones are ever going to be quite as squarish as this. And I'm probably okay with that. Talking with other guys, we've gone back and forth on which we like better. but oh god, it's so thin. It feels so good. I cannot wait to have Android on this. I mean, Windows Phone, it's interesting. I think I've decided I'm just the wrong guy to try to do an actual comparison. Like, if my job was not to, I mean, I can do kind of a sterile, here's what Phil thinks about Windows Phone, you know, tech blogger type thing. But my job is to use Google services and Android, and I'm not sure that email works any better than that. You know, especially if, you know, if you're going to use Gmail, there's no better Gmail experience than Android, right? Just anything else will not be as good. Actually, we need to talk about that.
You read my mind.
Yes. Walk me through it, Alex.
Well, I'm probably not the best person to
okay.
I know the gist, I don't know the technical details, but basically it's to do with Google cutting off
Exchange Active Sync service.
Access so if for Gmail and Calendar Signal as other stuff for I think it's BlackBerry as well, but Windows Phone is the big deal because they've also announced that they're not going to be making any of their own proprietary apps for Windows Phone or Windows 8.
If
And then they have kind of a basic Google search app, but I think that's probably the extent of what they have. So on the one hand, they're not developing apps for it. On the other hand, they're cutting off Active Sync, which is going to make it more difficult for people to use Gmail with Windows Phone, and also I think impossible in some cases to make things like Calendar Sync and Contact Sync work.
If you want to use Gmail on a non-Android device, there are a couple of ways you can do it. One is through IMAP, and Renee, I might need you to step in here and help me out. One is through IMAP, one is through Exchange Active Sync. And same goes for not just, you know, Windows Phone, but for the iPhone as well, right? So the iPhone, you have a couple options. But the iPhone has a separate way of doing Gmail, right, Renee? It's got, what's it called? It's IMAP.
It's got three. You have the Active Sync, and you have the Gmail option, and then you have the Gmail app,
which is
better than the other options, but doesn't give you a unified inbox if you have extra Google accounts.
Right. It's just like an extra app, and it's a really good app if you haven't tried it. If you get the chance to, it's really well done.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, but IMAP and EAS, Exchange Active Sync, are the two we're talking about. Exchange Active Sync is just like it sounds. It's proprietary for Microsoft and works through their Exchange protocols. You know, and back in the day, EAS, God, I mean, when I used it for the newspaper, they used Exchange. So it was great for email, right? So you had your Microsoft way of doing things. Then you have your Gmail way of doing things. And they never quite worked as well as you would like them to. They've gotten better on the iPhone, right, Renee? I mean, iOS uses, it's IMAP something.
They don't play nicely together because Google has a very low simultaneous connection level, and Apple is incredibly greedy about the amount of simultaneous connections they want.
Right. So a lot of people are using EAS, but going back to Nele at The Verge, you know, did a good post a couple of weeks ago about you know, how EAS can kill your battery. Now, some people are seeing bad battery life. Renee, you said you were fine over EAS, right?
I have three EAS accounts, two Google and one Exchange, and I never had a battery hit.
So
yeah, I was using the 8X for a while and never noticed any battery issues with EAS.
I think that's what I'm using through mine. I'd have to check. But the big deal here is Google is pulling that at the end of January, and everybody freaked out. They gave them, you know, a month and a half. Now, that's not a lot of time in the tech world to fix something like that.
That's not enough time to get a patch out on US phone, especially when you've got the holidays in the middle.
And that's kind of a dick thing.
It was for new connections. Like, you can still keep it on a phone as long as you don't change phones.
Okay.
But they now, to be fair, they don't have to send out a patch.
That's true.
All they need to do is support iCal on their Hotmail end, and you can sync your contacts and calendar through the Hotmail app. Now, somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding, that it's like the iPhone email application will suck. You just put in at gmail.com and it sucked everything in. That can be done server-side for the Hotmail app as well.
Do you guys think that
iCalendar, and they hide it? They don't make it very obvious how to do it, but it does support it. But they don't support CardDAV yet, as far as I know.
Okay, Renee's got it. I just know that it's not that difficult, but they're just not wanting to do it, and I'm sure they have a good reason.
Do you guys think it's basically going to be a bit of a sort of a game of chicken, whether Microsoft wants to act and put Gmail and sync support back in, or whether they're going to try and use this to push people over to their own services. Is it going to be that important for them?
It's a big deal. It's not a small thing.
I don't think, and we're all Google-ish fanboys here, let's be honest, but I don't think you're going to be able to convince a bunch of people to just drop Gmail that quickly, instant like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's my question, and I'm not necessarily pushing this one way or the other. Did Microsoft have a duty to support CalDAV in this other, you know, IMAP form to properly support Gmail that they just don't have enacted yet? Should they have done that already, like iOS has done?
Yes, wasn't it? Why would they need to if Google already supports their way of doing things?
They were depending on Google to support their existing.
Which they were.
Right. So. And they still are for everybody that's paying.
And, yeah, if you're on Google Apps, you know, for business, you're good. I just don't necessarily know enough about it to say one side's completely wrong here, and there might not be, you know, cut and dry answer.
There's also a history, because Apple originally created CarDAV and CalDAV to try to make a free alternative to Microsoft's Exchange system, so they probably weren't very happy with it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Microsoft has pretty much a zero open source presence. They just don't go that way. They like their proprietary stuff, and that's what they work on, and that's what they get perfected. None of it's ever perfect, but a lot of their stuff works really well, and that's what they want to focus on. They don't want to care about anything else. And that's their option.
ActiveSync is really slick. Of all the messaging services, it's the easiest to set up, and it just works the most.
Well, I mean, you just set up on your Nexus 4. Renee just got a Nexus 4, boys and girls, and you signed in. I mean, how easy was that?
It was incredibly easy, but I consider that almost like iCloud on an iPhone because it's their own system. It's when you start dealing with cross-compatible systems that ActiveSync, I think, shines, because it's as easy on an iPhone as it is on a Windows
phone. That's true. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, we got a month and a half. I just thought of this. The timing maybe is interesting because that whole thing's going down right about the same time as BB10 comes out. Coincidence?
I don't think.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, with BB10, they've still got, the announcement's the end of January. They've still got time to tweak things behind the scenes. And if, do we know whether BB10 supports CarDAV and CalDAV yet?
No idea. Good question.
Sure. But
because I think it was only an issue on BB7 because that didn't. And that was all based around ActiveSync anyway. So we'll have to see.
Google also didn't come up and say, we're not going to support BlackBerry users with BB10. So chances are you're going to get a nice Gmail app, just like we have on iOS and Android.
Hey, look, there's
BB10 looks slick, guys.
There's Kevin Michalik in the chat room.
Yeah.
Old Crackberry Kevin himself. BB7 doesn't matter. Kevin said it right there. BB7 doesn't matter. I'm tweeting that out right now. Kevin said BB7 doesn't matter. Oh man, no, we've got more time. I'm not dealing with that tonight. You want to do some emails and voicemails and we'll get the hell out of here for 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yep, let's do it. Yeah.
Shall we? We will do emails first. Ed writes, I use Google Now on my Nexus 4, but not on my Nexus 7. To me, it doesn't make sense to use Google Now on a tablet. So I'm asking, how do you use Google Now? Do you use it on all your Android devices? I mean, it's there. You don't have to use it necessarily, right?
Right. I don't find myself using it much on a tablet either.
No, I do on a phone. I mean, talking about the Galaxy camera, that has Google Now, and there's no way I'm ever using Google Now on a camera. it's a feature of the OS. Like, it's good. It's a good thing that it's there. But
what parts of it are you using?
I think on the Nexus 7 specifically, that is great for flying. And if you've got flight information and stuff on a Nexus 7 through Google Now, that's going to be really useful. But yeah, not so much compared to the phones.
It's still really good for
that.
That
would involve me sobering up and getting on a plane, so I'm just not going to use it.
It's still really good for the weather, because every morning my wife's getting ready and the kids are getting ready. She says, what's it like outside? And I said, what's the weather like today? And it says,
today's forecast for Pensacola is 73 degrees with a thunderstorm.
Done. Easy. Quick. Beat that, Siri. That's what I use the shipping feature too, because I got packages coming here all the time, mm-hmm. and you know, it's just a quick and easy way to see what's coming in and get the tracking code. So I'm lazy, which is cool. Oh,
yeah, I mean, I love using it, but I always just end up using it on my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, who wants the next one?
I got it. Armando writes, Armando here from Puerto Rico. I've had the Nexus 4 for 2 weeks now, and I'm loving every bit of it. It's fast, beautiful, and everything I want for a phone. The only problem is that the back of the phone fully touches the surface you put it on, and it's starting to get scratches. It's such a nice device that I don't want to see it get all scratched. The question is, do you have any idea when it will be back in stock? Or since you have been very giving lately, do you have one of those bumpers laying around for me?
God. I know where this is going, don't I?
Yep. Phil, do you got one of those bumpers? Armando needs one.
What happened to the one I sent you?
I got a bumper, Armando. I forgot. Came in a package. You upset my mailman.
Oh, yeah?
This has no return address on it, and I don't like the weird way this was addressed. You better be careful opening it.
It was addressed to you.
Jerry the Body Hilton.
Oh, that's right. I'm so doing that from now on. I am absolutely doing it.
Jerry at AndroidCentral.com. Shoot me an email. Tell me where to send it. I've got your bumper. The bumper keeps the back glass off. I took it out of the pocket package and tried it. It won't get scratched up. As far as when they're coming back in stock, we have no idea, man. we're tired of pretending. Google just, we don't know.
It's, God, I got to the point where I didn't even, speaking of things I don't care about, you know, doing stories every time something's out of stock. And, you know, if it comes in stock, that's one thing. But it's like, I don't know, just go look. I mean, honestly, if you're coming to us to find out if you can buy it from them, you're going to have to go to them anyway. Just go look. It's cool. You have my permission. It's okay. And, you know, I've had to buy stuff over the past couple weeks, and it's disappointing. But, they got to fix that. Guys, it's Christmas time, and you can't send what are the easiest devices to buy for presents.
And cheapest.
Mm.
Yep. If I know you in real life, you didn't get a Nexus 4 this year, but blame Google.
Yeah, not our fault.
Instead, You got a card and a fruitcake. Don't even bother opening it.
All right, Alex, you get the last email.
Mr. Jazz writes, do we know if Google is in fact working on a fix for the bugs plaguing Nexus owners on 4.2.1? Both my Galaxy Nexus and Nexus 7 reboot several times daily, seemingly randomly, but always during Play Store updates. But the power drain issue is the one really driving me nuts. The Nexus 7 seems to be the worst. I'd have to charge it nightly, even with light use. Even if I don't pick it up for 48 hours, it's dead. Any encouraging rumblings from Mountain View? So I haven't had any problems with 4.2.1 on... Actually, take that back. I had the Wi-Fi bug on the GeneX for a while. That's the one where it just can't connect to Wi-Fi networks and you have to factory reset it, so I don't know what's going on there. But on the whole, it's been pretty good on the other two. So, I mean, of course, it's a big new version of the OS. There are going to be issues that need to be addressed, and we've already seen, I think, in server logs, we've seen Android 4.2.2 floating around.
Yeah, actually, I was just pulling it up again.
I think it's going to be a... Yeah, I think we'll see it eventually. Whether we'll get it before the holidays, probably not. But it's out there, and I think it's going to be early next year if we don't see it even sooner.
It looks like, so starting the 4th, December 4th through the 14th, and the highest number of pings we got was on the 14th, and then it almost dropped off to nothing. And it's, you know, we're not talking any more than a couple hundred pings here. So either...
I think there are bug reports on Google Code from 422 mm-hmm. as well, I think.
Yeah. So I'm sure they're working on it. I would expect to see it before, you know, we get back after the New Year holiday.
But before we walk away from this, no SP89 in the chat room has said something very important. Mr. Jazz, do you have Widgets HD, you know, installed? What the heck is the name of it again? Somebody help me out in the chat room.
Widgets HD? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the name.
Yeah, or Beautiful okay. Widgets.
There is a bug. HD Widgets, that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
There's a bug in there that a lot of people, it's just killing their battery.
Hmm.
It kills the battery on my Nexus 4, doesn't bother my Nexus 7 at all. I have no idea what's going on, but you might want to uninstall it if it's, you know, giving
I think. I think the other one that people are having problems with originally, although it's been updated, so maybe that's not an issue anymore, is currents. I think that there are a lot of people having trouble with the Nexus 7 on currents, where it was draining the battery and they were getting lag and stuff.
Yep, I read that too. So, I mean, it's there's app issues. That's why it's a lot to be said for, people are going to hate me for this, the way Apple doesn't publicly beta test their new operating system like Google does. They let developers handle it for a few months.
Mm.
Whereas Google says, oh, it's done. Here it is. If you bought a Nexus, guess what you get? And we tested for them. And this is the kind of thing that happens when you do that.
Mm. And if you have anything like this where it's you think it's caused by apps, the easiest thing to do, you know, other than just uninstalling apps and seeing if it fixes it, is just do a factory reset. And although it takes time and it's annoying, just restore everything from scratch. Don't check the box to re-download all your apps in Google Play, because that might just bring the problem back. Set it up clean from scratch and see how that goes.
If you hack your phone or if you use a Nexus, I hate to say it, but never use that feature. Go slow, because you are on the bleeding edge by design, and that's what you wanted. So enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, let's do some voicemails, and then we're out of here till 2013. Who are we doing first? I don't
know. Hey, Android Central Podcast. This is Fernando again. And I wanted to ask you a question. You think Samsung next year will remove SD card and remove a battery and all that, like every other OEM is doing? Or they will stay true to what they've been doing always? Maybe because they've been so successful on it, on their phone, maybe they'll leave it on. And also, I got some advice for some of the people that have a Galaxy 7 or a 10 that's doing a second account for kids, you know, for privacy and you know, so the kids don't go into the internet look for stuff. I could recommend two things on it. One, when you do the second account, install a launcher like Nova or Apex, and remove or hide application that you don't want the kids to view, like the browser or other things, you know. You could do that, or you could get an application called App Locker in the App Store, and what it does is it lets you assign apps to put password on them, so they can't get into the browser, your email, or any other private stuff that you don't want them to look at, you know. So that's some advice. Maybe, you know, some people will use it. Okay, guys, take care. Bye bye.
Yep.
You think they're going to get rid of removable battery and SD card and stuff?
If they decide to go unibody with smaller bezels, they're going to have to get rid of the removable battery.
Yeah,
that's just a fact of physics. If they don't, the Galaxy S3 sure sold well with the design it has. Why change it if it works?
And there's also the fact that every single Samsung device this year that hasn't been a Nexus has had both removable storage and removable battery.
Right.
Yep.
The storage, you know, I just hope that they support it if they keep it a little bit better than they are now. And Samsung's smart. I think they will. I don't think they're going to take it away. And I think as TouchWiz matures, you're going to see better support for the SD card, instead of now it's just, you know, it's like a Dropbox folder that you can't integrate. I think Samsung will find a way to build it into the system like it used to be before Google dropped support. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that they'll leave it in than they'll take it out. I don't see Samsung removing features is what it gets down to. I think that they've got so many features in TouchWiz already, and the, you know, their advertising is also so much about what you can actually do with phones, then that I think they're probably going to leave it in.
And the people buying them love it.
Yeah.
Samsung, get rid of that menu button, please.
Yeah,
let's all get on the same page so apps can all just do away with it.
It's not so much the presence of a menu button as the fact that you don't have a task switching button that bugs me about that. That it just seems to slow you down when you're using it. That's my take on that.
I agree. All right, let's move to CJ.
Hello, Phil and crew. This is CJ from the forums, or actually CJ10057 in forums. On the last podcast, the gentleman was asking about the reviews on Google Play. From what I understand, your past reviews will not change to show your username. It's only when you post a new review that it will show up. Anyway, love the show. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Absolutely. I got a couple emails about that through the week and tried it myself. That's exactly what's happening.
Yep. All right. How about Daniel?
Hey, this is Daniel Scully for the Android Central podcast. I was just calling because I listened to the podcast a couple podcasts ago, and I heard a guy call in about inductive chargers for the Galaxy S3, and he was wondering where he could get them and stuff like that, and he ended up just giving him one, which was very generous of you. But I was very interested because I was wondering where you actually get them. After that podcast, I thought, hey, I should call in and ask where you actually get them. And then I thought, hey, maybe Phil might give me one. Ha ha ha. And then the next podcast, somebody actually called in and asked if you would give him one, and you actually gave him one. So kind of underestimated Phil's, extreme generosity. I was just interested in wondering where you would actually get a inductive charger for Galaxy S3. And, you know, Phil, if you would want to give me one as well, I wouldn't complain. I'm just saying. On a completely unrelated subject, I'd just like to say how good looking of a guy Phil is, with those dreamy brown eyes and award-winning smiling. He's a good-looking guy, but that's a completely unrelated topic, completely unrelated to you having given away inductive chargers for Galaxy S3. But that's my question. I love the site. I don't think there's a single news story you guys put out that I don't read, and I listen to every single podcast you guys make, so keep up the good work.
Fine, Daniel. Yes, I have one more. I have one more to give away. I still have the original one from the guy who started all this. If you're out there, email me. I need to send this to you. Yes, Daniel has one coming, and then that's it. I'm out of inductive chargers. Where we got it was off eBay. I think they got shipped from Hong Kong or something. We did a post on it back then, and I ordered like 3 or 4. I forget how many. And I don't actually use it. Because I don't, I need to get a Qi back for it now, actually, since I've got the Energizer Qi pad here. So yes, Daniel has one coming. You're welcome. Merry Christmas. I'm going to get hounded for this the rest of my life, aren't I?
Now I know the next time I call and ask for a car to tell you how sexy you are.
No good deed goes unpunished. All right, let's do Trevor's voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Trevor Smith from Kansas City. I had a question about Bluetooth stuff. I'm a big Bluetooth guy, and I know audiophiles will hate me for that, but I constantly use it, but I've noticed I'm using a Galaxy S3 with CyanogenMod. I've noticed that if you have your volume, your media volume down, then you connect your Bluetooth device, even if your Bluetooth volume is all the way up, you can't get any audio out of your device or out of your Bluetooth stereo speakers, whatever you're hooked up to. I then have to disconnect my Bluetooth, turn up the media volume, then reconnect in order to get it to work. So I just wonder if that's just a glitch in CyanogenMod or if you have a workaround fix or if I'm just being a noob. If you let me know, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Bluetooth is so wonky still. I'm sorry. Like, when it works, it can work really well, but especially for music, it's I can listen to like podcasts, like spoken word and, you know, the news and stuff like that. I can't listen to music over Bluetooth. It's just not good enough for me. And the connection can be wonky. Jerry, do you use it all?
My wife uses Bluetooth. I've got a 3-foot-long aux cable that I plug into the Jambox. Screw Bluetooth. It sounds hissy and poppy.
Yeah.
That's just me. A lot of people don't hear the hissing and the popping that I hear.
Yeah, I've never used it for music. The only thing I really use Bluetooth for is just, you know, dumb peripherals like keyboards, mice, and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, works well enough for that kind of device, but...
Oh, it works great for that, yeah. I mean, I use a joystick and a mouse.
All right. Oh, hey, Trevor's got one more voicemail, actually. I guess we should play.
Also, since you've been feeling so generous lately, though, with your phone, I was wondering if you just had GSM phones lying around with Android. I work with some nonprofits that, they like Android, but... they can't get them either in Africa, or I work a lot in China. But, you know, they're just poor over there. And I work with some underground churches and other nonprofit groups that are just trying to help the poor and all that. So if you have just old Android phones, nobody wants any more that have GSM specifically. They usually run on any of the bands. Any old GSM phones, let me know. If you want to just stockpile them and give them away, I would greatly appreciate it. So, it'd be nice to get unlocked, too. Good, thanks, guys. Bye.
With the fillings out of my teeth while I'm at it? That's...
he didn't tell you were sexy.
I know. See, I got a big bag of phones I was just about to give you, and then you didn't flatter me enough. Trevor, sorry, man. You were that close. No. Sorry, I don't have that many phones lying around, actually. And actually, I've been trying to get rid of stuff out of here whenever possible. Which is how we've been giving a lot of stuff away lately. No, I'm sorry. I don't have any old phones laying around. Because I got rid of most of them, which is the way I like it. I got a little desk space back. My wife's very happy about it, too. Well, actually, the other day, she was quizzing me, pulling stuff off a chest of drawers and said, "What's this? What's this?" That's a Thunderbolt. "What's this?" That's the battery back for, or the battery door for the extended battery for the Thunderbolt. "What's this?" My Touch. "What's the..." She didn't stump me. She didn't. I won.
You don't have a Fender Edition MyTouch 3G laying around, do you, Phil?
No, that thing was awesome. I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
Because I would tell you you're sexy all night long.
That was one of the first phones I reviewed for the site was that Fender Edition. Can you believe that T-Mobile still sells the Hero, by the way? The Reefer, but
seriously?
Still. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's why in our Best Phones for U.S. Carriers, it's like, you know what? T-Mobile still sells phones. I had no idea. And that was one of them. It's refurbed. And I guess, you know, for an entry-level phone, you could maybe do worse.
That's weird, because do they sell a Sensation anymore? And the, what was that other one?
I don't remember, probably. Yeah, and the Amaze wasn't bad. You know, it's a year old now, but pretty wild.
But the Hero, I got a soft spot for the Hero. I love that phone.
Yeah, you did.
I ought to get a new one.
You should. You can probably get it for like $50. All right, that's it, boys and girls. We are done for the year. Episode 120. And... I know I've said it a lot. I've said it before, and I think I can say this on behalf of Jerry and Alex, but screw you, San Diego. No, that's not it. You know, thank you all so much for listening. This podcast is fun, and it's going to keep being fun. And, you know, it's time out of our day, but I think it's time well spent. And so you guys are the ones who have made this, you know, the greatest Android podcast in the world, and I promised myself I wasn't going to cry. Okay. I'm all right now. So I hope everybody has good holidays, and see you, I guess, first of the year. We might end up doing a Mobile Nations podcast between now and CES, and we've got CES coming up the second week of January. Alex is going to be there. I'll have Andrew Vaca and Andrew Bartonek be his first show with us, so we're going to have a blast. I want to make Alex wrap it up tonight.
I guess I'm going to have to open up the show notes then.
I believe you should.
Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can also get us all on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. Jerry is @GBHill. I am @AlexDobie. You can follow all of our other writers on the site and also find us on Google Plus. We're brought to you as ever by shopandroid.com. You can call us at 888-468-6158. And you can leave voicemail at that same number, extension 222.
Yep. 888-468-6158. Hey, we have stickers now.
Wait, Alex has to say shaken, not stirred.
Oh.
No, I don't.
You are the next Bond.
All right, that's it. Chat room, thank you guys for a great year as well. And we will see y'all on the flip side. Stick a fork in it.
Happy holidays, everybody.
See ya.
The last show of the year, and you guys finally do that right. I'm so proud of you. Awesome.